I literally put this down for 7 o'clock because I thought the perfect person to ask would be someone like yourself or Boomer that kind of understands what the player is going through and how real, you know, things like what we do are in the locker room. And it is magnified, I don't even think tenfold, but 100-fold now with the social media. Mm-hmm. You know, it used to be they booed Mickey Mantle. They booed Joe DiMaggio. And yes, you might have a columnist that might write a bad article, but like that was it back in the day. Then WFAN is born. And now you've got not only hosts, but fans screaming and yelling. And that's really all you dealt with pretty much, right? Was the sports radio aspect of it?
Sports radio, and obviously the beat writer.
And the newspapers.
And then the avid fan. That was it. Newspaper, right. Of course.
But yeah, were... Your career ended before social media really took off to where it is now, which is just a cesspool. Well,
yeah, I wrapped up in 16, so it was kind of, it was really, really starting to take off. Right. But it wasn't what it is now.
Right.
Yeah.
In just 9 years, I mean, it's through the roof.
100%.
And so I listened to the caller, I listened to Sal, and it's, you know, you want to take one side of it, but I got to tell you, I see both sides. I see the fact that Anthony Volpe is a 24-year-old mm-hmm. that has... immense talent. He, for the most part, has played a very good shortstop. Yeah, he's had some issues this year, but for the most part, he's been a really good shortstop. The hitting hasn't been what we've expected or needed. Now, I'm going to play devil's advocate with you. Fair enough. You got to be better. I'll be the first one to say you got to be better, but I also think when I look at a lineup that's got the likes of Aaron Judge, now Giancarlo Stanton, Cody Bellinger, Paul Goldschmidt, Jazz Chisholm Jr., for this to all of a sudden be all on Anthony Volpe to me is unfair, but I also can see how the kid can get in his own head by things like this and us and social media. Fair or not fair?
It's fair, but I also think, you know, just to kind of layer it up a little more, we're in a time where ball players who play the game have a voice, meaning because they're on podcasts, mm-hmm. YouTube channels.
Sure.
So it hits different when a guy like a Gilbert Arenas or you know, even, you know, Carmelo has a 7 p.m. Brooklyn mm-hmm. podcast. These are guys who were respected in their sports. Now they're having platforms with with other athletes who played, all have an opinion alongside me and you, right? And so, yeah, I may tell Jerry to bleep off or whatever, but it's different when the guy like Carmelo, who's an all-star, has an opinion about me and my game, because not only was he better than me, but he's lived the lifestyle and he's dealt with the pressure in the same market. So, It's just different. I think for Anthony right now, being 24 years old, playing for the Yankees, the expectation that comes with it, being a part of that lineup, I think a lot of it too is he was a fan of the Yankees, right?
And so he grew up here.
So yep. When you're playing for a team you rooted for, and you understand the history and expectation that comes with it, the turnoff necessarily doesn't come from the outside source. It's because of what you expect out of yourself. And what it means to wear that jersey.
But can you separate that, though? Can you separate what you expect from yourself and the expectations? Because I would think nobody wants more for you than you.
100%.
That having been said, you're also hearing it from every direction and every platform.
The health, most people would tell you to just turn it off and not pay attention to it.
But can a 24-year-old do that?
A 24-year-old, like most 24-year-olds right now, their biggest issue is social media. That's the biggest issue with Sauce Gardner, who I love Sauce's game. I know he's looking for a new deal. Mm-hmm. But the first thing I would tell him to do is like, hey, man, take your phone as far as you can and throw it into the Hudson River.
Yes.
And never pick it up again. If people want to contact you, they will be able to get to you, especially people close to you. I always appreciated what Baker Mayfield did when he left. I think it was whatever his last team was before he got there, before he landed in Tampa. He said, man, I was at a point in my career where I was getting teased for having more commercials than touchdowns. And I realized I had to do a self-audit. And when I did my self-audit, I had to turn my social media off because it was losing me money. It was losing me credibility, not amongst just the media, amongst my peers, mm-hmm. people who I was going to battle with. So he said, I turned off the social media. He lands in Tampa. Now we look at Tampa, we look at Baker Mayfield as a guy solely because he turned off his social media. And so for a lot of young guys, especially a 24-year-old kid who's, one, like you said, grew up loving the Yankees, playing for the Yankees, had, you know, we know what happened with him last year, and now his dad's involved. Because that was the hardest thing for me when I played. I had to tell my own family, stop, you know, they would see things or hear things on social media. I'm like, man, don't clap. My own wife, I think one of my ex-teammates said something on social media about me during my time with the Jets, and she clapped at him. And I said, we don't do that. Like that, we don't do that. We ignore it because anybody that really has something to say will text you. They have your number and say it. So out of that, just leave it alone. But for a 24-year-old guy like Volpe, I would just tell him, turn off your social media. And it's not just going to work and grinding, because obviously that's expected, but also do a self-audit. What's distracting you outside of doing your job? And I think that goes for anybody in the professional realm. If you got an opportunity to do a self-audit, do that. What's distracting you? What's holding you back? What are the things you did that you're not doing anymore, and vice versa? So it all comes down to the guy in the mirror. But it's tough to turn it off. It's tough to keep family out of it. But it's a lot harder on the ball player today because of everything that looms around them.
And as you said, like, it doesn't turn off ever.
There's no turn off.
You know, you want to say you turn off the radio, fine, but we're still going. Okay. Then you turn on your phone, and there it is, right in front of you, staring you in the face.
But even when you watch, like, your, let's say if you're, like, me and you love golf, so we're always watching golf TV, but there's always that side commercial that pops up of some dude of, like, oh, Anthony Volpe strikes out again. It's like, this, like, the little.
Oh, the crawl.
It plays like.
Oh, absolutely.
I can't even watch another channel before I pop back up.
I know.
So there is no turnoff. And so I have empathy for these guys. I just tell them right now, do the self-audit. Get off social media. And not everything is worthy of a clapback.
Right.
Which guys have to realize.
And by the way, I'm not even sure. I don't even know if Anthony Volpe is on social media.
No.
I don't know what he sees. And the guy's point was, you know, we're constantly, whether he means all of us hosts here at FAN or, you know, the other sports, who knows, maybe the articles he's reading, but it's out there. The other thing, too, is
but
the
But he
idea,
only hears it if somebody's telling him about it.
Well,
I only heard most of it if somebody saw it.
But that's because you turned everything off.
For the most part, I did.
And as we just discussed, it ended 9 years ago for you on the field when this was really starting to get hot. If you were playing, if Willie Colon was playing now in the prime of his career, let's say you're on the Jets right now and you're 28 years old in this land of social media where, let's be fair, everybody is trying to build their brand so that when they are finished playing, they can start that YouTube show or they can start their product line or whatever the hell it might be, or their production company, because everyone's got an eye towards the future now. Do you think 28-year-old Willie Colon in 2025 would be able to turn it off?
That's a good question. I think for my own, if I felt that it was hurting me, yes, I would be able to turn it
off. Okay, 24-year-old Willie Colon. And I only bring up the age because I know he's a professional. I get
it. Let me say this. The older I became, the more aware I became. Because when I was younger, I shouldn't be out here. I'm with the Pittsburgh Steelers. They just won the Super Bowl last year. I just keep my nose down and just grind it out. So I wasn't privy to a lot of what was being said about. As I got older, my name got out there, and the more success I acquired, I started to bend my ear to what was being said about me. And I did find myself a little more kind of anxious around people who I think had a platform.
Right.
Instead of just being like, man, all right, that's their job. This is my job. Let me just go to work. I started being more tentative around people like that. So, yeah, it's tough.
Oh, it's tough, all right. There's no doubt. And it's one where, you know, I feel for the kid, but I also understand we do have a job to do. Like it or not, we do have a job to do. And if you're not going to perform, it's what's going to happen. It's just it's the nature of the business.
But I also think, too, a lot of what Anthony deals with is, you know, when you're standing on that field, you hear the boozing, you hear the conversations. And when you can hear somebody say Volpe XY, you know, whatever's coming out of their mouth. So that leans on you,
but
too.
But then why do I hear from the star player, they will always tell you, I hear nothing. Meaning they're locked in.
They hear
in.
Nothing in the moment when they have to perform.
You're just kind of meandering around the field,
you hear
everything.
100%. When I'm on the field, I hear nothing. It literally is silent. There's 2-minute situations or 4th-and-1 on TV, the screen is shaking, and I would say to myself, I didn't hear none of that, right? Because it's just a different frequency. But 100% sure, if I'm sitting on the sideline or if I'm at TV timeout, I hear it all.
Yeah,
like I hear. I mean, my last name is Colon, and I heard all type of butt jokes. All type of stuff, right? And so, yeah, I heard all of that. So it's just different.
Oh, the colon joke?
All of it.
Hey, Willie ass.
All of it.
Here's Anthony West Haven. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, the way I look at it today, it's like, it's even like when you're a little kid now, you know, and you go to school, these kids are getting bullied 24/7 because of the internet and media, and they can't turn it off because it's everywhere. I mean, it's like, that's why I felt so bad for Volpe, because it's in the papers. He's probably hearing it when he goes home. His parents are probably giving him advice and what he should do. And so there's no way you can get away from it. There's no way you can escape it. You know, it's like 24/7. It's got to be in his mind. And you could see him at one point yesterday. You could see how frustrated he was. But after he hit that home run and he was running around the bases and he was getting the high fives at home plate, I felt so much better for him.
You're not wrong. And I will tell you this, Anthony. It's a good thing they won yesterday, too, because you had the whole thing with him hitting Judge in the head with the throw. I mean, had they lost that game and got swept by the Mets, like that got a lot of play on social media, as you can imagine. But we'd be sitting here this morning saying, you know, they get hit in the head and he hits Judge in the head.
Beating the hell out that horse.
I mean, yeah. I mean, everything has just gone. It feels like.
Yeah, he didn't hit Jazz Chisholm.
No, he hits Aaron Judge.
Hit Aaron Judge. Bloodied him.
Lucky he didn't get him in the eye. You know, I mean it's just, you feel for the kid. Duke and Elizabeth. What's up, Duke?
Yeah, hey, guys. I don't know if you remember this, but last year, Sal had the quest for the Phillies player for sympathy while he was in a slump, and now he won't have give Volpe a chance and not criticize him. Remember that?
You know, that was Trey Turner where they were saying he should cheer him, and they did. They cheered him in Philly, and he got going in the right direction.
Did he have a little more going on with him?
He might have. I don't know. But and Duke, you're right. That Sal did have that point, but I think both things, they're not quite the same. Sal was reacting to a caller that basically said, "We're the reason players don't do well here." And Sal's point was, well, what about, and he gave all the examples of players that have done great things in New York. And that's kind of where the conversation I was trying to guide it to in terms of being able to play in this market. You know, you played in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is not a huge market, comparatively speaking, to New York City. But you can't tell me that there's not as much pressure to play in Pittsburgh as there is to play for the Jets Giants. You just can't. It's got to be similar.
No, it's not.
In Pittsburgh, timeout. Didn't you not tell me that you had an old lady yell at you?
I'm saying the pressure is more.
In Pittsburgh?
Yes.
Right, okay.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I apologize.
And that's my point. Like, we sit here and say New York City, the end-all, be-all, yet I would think in smaller cities, it's almost worse.
It's worse in small cities, 100%. But I want to say this. I think for the fans, I think they also know there's like a little nuance. When a guy chooses to play here, they're not just choosing to play for the respected team. They're choosing to play here because of life after ball. And they understand, like, this guy's not just playing here because he wants to be a Jet Giant. They understand that. If I win in New York, this sets me up to your point earlier. This sets the foundation for life after ball, what I can do, X, Y, Z, the networking and the opportunities that come with it. And I tell everybody, you know, that was the hardest thing when I got to the Jets. I was sitting in a lot of these young guys down, like Snacks Harris, like Damon Snacks Harris, Sheldon Richardson, Mo Wilkinson, and all these guys. Like, dog, if you win in New York, you're done. Like, I mean, like, you getting staked.
Especially for the Jets.
You know what I mean? Seriously. I was like, you bring this team to, if we can lock in and win, I'm talking about free Dennis. I'm talking about stepping in. Your wife wants to go to Broadway Theater. There's a phone call you can make. You're sitting in the best seat in the house because you won here in New York. You know what I mean? Like, and I was like, I was getting that treatment in Pittsburgh. And Valley's a historic blue blood team and everything that comes along with being a Steeler. But I'm like, it's a different, like, you, those restaurants you never heard of or you just got is invite only. Now you're sitting in those rooms, right?
Now you're on the list.
Yes. And I was trying, and I was beat, Jerry, I'm going to say it, I don't care. I was we were in a nightclub. It was called Finales. It was down in Chinatown, in Lower East Side, man. And I used to go out there. I knew the place really well. And I had just got to the Jets. And these young, we were, at 2013, we were like the second youngest team in the league. So a lot of talent, a lot of young guys. And we were all having a night. I'm just going to leave it like we were doing everything we were doing, right? And I looked at these guys, and I could see how much fun they was having. Because, one, they got money. They got the notoriety. They all, you know, we're all jeweled up, and we everybody notices us. I was like, imagine this feeling right now. Imagine when you win. Imagine this feeling. Like, when you win, you get that times five, and you can do it all over the country. So I was just trying to map out to these guys, like, if this is what you love, great. But now let's win. Let's take this winning that we're all here to do, and we can do this everywhere. And then here, it's nuts. And they all looked at me like, yeah, right. Okay, Willie. At that point, I was a little seasoned in my career, so they started calling me OG and uncle, which is when I knew I was on my last leg. But I was just trying to show them, man, like, man, winning brings a lot.
Yeah.
But you got to win. You can't have the lifestyle without the winning. So,
and you do it here, it could be better than anywhere.
Forget about it.